Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Great to be with you as we begin a new broadcast week. Hey, let me read something to you and just think about how you might respond to this. Quote, this is from a, by the way, very well-known scientist. And you would know this person's name. It's a he. Listen to this. Quote, the lack of science behind the world's response to the virus is the most frightening thing I've seen in my lifetime. We've given up all of our constitutional rights for all intents and purposes. Live in one of the most restrictive police states in the history of mankind. This is not about a virus. And it's certainly not based on scientific assessment of the data about the virus. I voted Democrat and have always leaned left. But CNN, Washington Post, and the New York Times have become purveyors of fear porn, outright lies, and or data presented in a slanted way, meant to mislead the masses. Unquote. That is the latest from Professor Hinckley, published today. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about this, but I'm probably going to have to do this more tomorrow because, frankly, there's a lot to unpack here. But also, I want to know, did you go to the rally Saturday? I know some of you did because I have emails from you. What were your impressions? What were people saying to you? Now, I was out of state. Went over to see my mom in Prine Village. You know she lost her husband, so I spent Friday night with her. Saturday when the rally was going, I was with her, and then I drove to Washington State to celebrate my stepson's birthday in the Pasco Tri-Cities area. And I'll talk a little bit about what they're doing there, because they ain't shutting down anymore, folks. They're defying their governor's orders. So if you went to the rally, I'd love to hear from you. What you thought about the rally. In general, your anecdotal stories, would love to get your personal thoughts about it. 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails always to Jeff at 1220.am. Like, for instance, the one from Rich, who went to the rally. Here's what he wrote. He said, you know, I don't know if you were there, but it was fun, but wet. I had to park up on center at Winter Street. This guy was filming the eastbound traffic. The Saturday Market is to his left. I asked him, are you filming for a TV channel? He nodded yes. And I asked which one. He mentioned Channel 2. I said, Channel 2? He nodded yes. I asked if he was there to film the rally. He nodded yes, if that was what he was doing. So I'm not too sure you will see what you will see of the rally from the far end of the grounds, blocked by a building to your south. He was still there when I left. I guess I need someone to explain the features of filming through buildings to me. He said, you know, I only worked in wireless, microwave, and some security cameras for police and fire most of my life. I must have missed that part of my job somehow. Yeah, well said. So did you go to the rally? Would love to hear from you. 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220. I mean, it's important. And here's why. There's a story. I mean, look, Saturday was civil disobedience. And all over Oregon, folks, there's a story on OregonWatchdog.com about a Brookings protest. There's a story about the Prineville protest on Saturday. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't see it because I'd left town. You know, otherwise, I might have gone down there and joined him, but I kind of had to stay on a schedule. But here's my point to you. There was a lady that was on Channel 12 this morning. She is a salon owner from Salem, and she's saying that she is going to she's going to defy the order. She literally is going to defy the order. She's going to open up. Now, Kate Brown and Ellen Rosenblum are threatening all kinds of fines and imprisonment. So let me ask you this. Are you willing to go down and help defend this woman, the salon owner? I'm quite serious. Are you willing to go stand in front of her door on the sidewalk with an American flag, with your signs, and shame the police when they show up? I'm quite serious. I'm not kidding you, folks. And let me throw out another, and I'm going to go to Jake in a moment. So, Jake, hang on, because I want to get Jake's thoughts. Let me also throw this out to you. Since apparently the governor is going to keep churches shut down to the very end of this thing, because, you know, we can't have people meeting socially distanced in a church to worship God. Oh, it's okay if you go to the grocery store. It's okay if you go to Walmart or Lowe's or Home Depot. That's okay, but you can't go to a church. No, no. So let me throw this suggestion out to you. Maybe it's time for an interfaith church service next Sunday on the steps of the Capitol building with thousands of people of all faiths showing up. What do you think about that idea? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Let's go to my friend Jake. Jake, good morning. We're at the rally.
The rally was pretty impressive. First time ever, Jeff. And the turnout, considering how wet it was really amazing. I don't think it really put Oregonians were used to it. It was loud. It was colorful. It was boisterous. But yet it was completely under control. There were very few, if any, police, and somebody else can correct me. I saw one police car parked. We were there, Jeff, and the head counts that you get from, say, the Willamette Weekly or maybe the Statesman Journal were way underestimated. I think at its peak, it was pushing between 3,000 and 4,000. Probably counting the cars that were going round and round and making a lot of noise. I like your idea of an interfaith service on the Capitol steps because it's been too long to not be in church. We've been doing church from our phones and so forth like many others. But Jeff, I tell you what, I have a sister in New York City and she saw our post on Facebook, and of course she's in the middle of it in Manhattan with all of the corona and all of that stuff. I don't deny those things. But one of the things I told her was is that your administrative government was caught flat-footed. They were not ready. And because of that, you've got some pretty bad results out there. But, Jeff, what concerns me, and I told you that last time I talked to you, is that it bothers me so much that our governor hates rural Oregon, and it wasn't to me only just the coronavirus, Jeff. It's about cap and trade. It's about that tax that's bringing businesses to their knees. It's about democratic coercion amongst their own, because, Jeff, as you know, there are some democratic legislators who want to do the right thing, and their party is beating them down and forcing them to line up lock, stock, and barrel with Wicked Kate. And I find that just frightening as heck, Jeff. And so it was a great experience. I'm glad I went. If they ever have another one, I think I'll be there, Jeff. Love you, and my condolences to you and your family as well, my man.
Thank you, friend. I deeply appreciate it. Before I let you go, let me ask you this question. What kind of comments did you hear from other people who were there at the rally? What was your takeaway from the rally, from what you heard from other people? Oh, I think Jake went ahead and left, darn it. Well, so let me ask the rest of you that question. Those of you who were at the rally, call me, let me know what you heard from other people. What was your takeaway from the rally? I mean, I fully expected that you would not see the state police there in big numbers. I think Kate realizes how big of a danger it would look to her and to the Democrats if, in fact, she had the state police there and they were arresting people. I mean, can you imagine the viral videos of that? Now, yesterday afternoon, as I was coming home from Washington State, I met with a particular activist who were working on a campaign, and this person showed me the rally Saturday from the Sacramento, California state capitol steps. Now, remember that Governor Kami Newsom, which is the only way you can describe Gavin Newsom, friends, he's a communist. He's as bad or worse than Kate Brown is, right? Or Jay Inslee, for that matter. At any rate, he had forbidden people to come and protest at the steps of the Capitol, okay? And the California Highway Patrol, which apparently we know that's their state police, right? CHP said, we are no longer going to allow this to happen. Now, right now, I'm watching video on Fox Business of what happened at Huntington Beach, California on Friday. It was profound. Now, I saw this on Twitter, by the way, on late Friday afternoon. I'd gotten over to Central Oregon, and I was just looking at my Twitter feed, and whoa, I'm looking at all these videos. And then yesterday, I saw all kinds of videos from the rally in Salem. So this entire thing, Kate Brown knew she could not provoke people by arresting them in defiance of her. Now, they're showing that the San Diego mayor just broke with the governor in California and allowed people to go to the beaches. So what about Oregon? Now, have we lost our collective mind? That's what Professor Hinckley writes about today. The headline of his story, and you can go see it if you go to ProfessorHinckley.com. Believe me, even if you misspell it, you'll find it. ProfessorHinckley.com. Oregon has lost its collective mind over COVID-19. And the subheadline is, we're in a race between the ideology of safetyism and the facts. Let me go back to Jake just briefly. Jake, what was your takeaway from listening to other people at the rally? What did they say to you?
A lot like what you've been hearing on your show. People are frustrated. There was a couple of keynote speakers. One in particular was from Redmond. He was a cattle rancher. He was under a tent. And he said it best. He goes, that marble building doesn't belong to Kate Brown and the legislators. It belongs to us. And it's making all the messes. It's causing the problems. It's forgotten who they serve. They make us serve them. I'm summarizing. A lot of people upset, Jeff, about where the state is going. Young and old, all kinds of people there, Jeff, and they are all frustrated with our state government.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Got to go to break at 6:20 in the morning. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. So what do you think of my idea that we defy Kate Brown's church lockdown order? Apparently churches are scheduled in Kate's phase reopening of the state to be the very last to open up. When you think about my idea about next Sunday, we have an interfaith church service on the steps of the Capitol building. And I mean an interfaith one. Catholics, evangelicals, Mormons, it doesn't matter, Russians, Orthodox, Jewish people. I know they don't go to church on Sunday. They go to church on Saturday, but it doesn't matter. What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I'm going to go to Glenn in just a momento, but wanted to read this email from Corby this morning. So, Jeff, I just wanted to say thanks to all that supported the rally on Saturday, whether or not they were there in their car or could not be there. It's great to know that a lot more people are awake than I sometimes think. It's sad to see the medical establishment buy into this to the degree they are. I know there are a lot that don't. And I realize that many are in a difficult spot. And yes, people are getting sick. I just didn't realize that they would lock the doors and curl up in a little ball like this. It's like someone that joins the military for the benefits. And then when it's time to fight, they do everything they can to try to get out of it. I pray for this country and for the people. So maybe that's what we need more of. Maybe we need a giant prayer service. And let me share you. I'm going to talk to Glenn first, but when I come back, I'm going to share with you why I thought about this yesterday. And actually, this young lady I was with yesterday in this political meeting made the suggestion to me, and I think it's brilliant. But my pastor said something in his online sermon yesterday that really grabbed me. Let's go to Glenn, who's on the line. Glenn, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
Yeah. Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, I was at the rally. I've been to all of them, and this one was just off the wall, really. A lot of people had showed up that had never been there before, never been to a rally in their entire life. And they were asking me about instructions about where we park, where we go, and I was just trying to help people here, left and right. And I think it was Jeff in the big truck. And I think somebody could back that up. That looked to me like Jeff. He was stoked. He really was on fire because of the people that came to the meeting to show their support for the whole idea of what was going on. And some of us had enough nerve to go up and down the street in the middle of the cars, about five of us, and the cars were full. The people had all their kids in the car. Most of the cars had 3, 4, and 5 people in them. It was raining hard at some times, but when you consider the weather, that was huge. The cars were coming in off the feeder streets, were backed up as far as I could see.
Is that right? Really? Wow.
Yes, they were, as you came in from Albany, 12th Street, all the way back, going the other way on the main boulevard, on that State Street in front of the Capitol building. When the thing was at maximum, you couldn't see the end of the cars, and you couldn't see the end of the cars at about 12:20 coming in on 12th Street both ways. All the feeder streets were just packed, and people were coming from Portland, West Lynn, Newburgh, Eugene, Portland. The people from Portland were saying, we've been on the freeway for at least 40 minutes trying to get into the city. So it was much bigger than they are talking about, and people are stoked. The other part about the churches, how are the churches, the missionaries, the evangelists, and the pastors going to continue in this scenario? This is right smack dab in the this is a big finger in the middle of all the people that serve the Lord. And they trying to get the Great Commission under this type of a situation. What would Christ do to send out his disciples if they were locked down? It just isn't going to work. It's not working. And she is defying the church. She really is. She's putting, and the churches that have hospitals. Think of, I was born in a Roman Catholic hospital.
Right,
and
right.
A lot of those hospitals are related, do not like the abortion situation. So you can see that this has an absolutely under the cover agenda, and the churches really are number one. The missionaries, the pastors, and the evangelists will not make it going forward if we can't do the Great Commission. And that's exactly what this is against, including the independent hospitals and the hospitals of faith. So that's my comment.
All right, Glenn, thank you very much for sharing that. I appreciate it. And appreciate your activism and being willing to do that. Those are powerful stories. They're anecdotal, but, you know, I have to tell you, I mean, I'm seeing stories online about 3,000 people were there. That doesn't even count the people in the cars. And if this eyewitness account that Glenn has just shared with us about how many people were backed up trying to get in there, the stories that he heard, if that's an accurate representation of what happened, then here's my next question for you. Does this scare Kate Brown as badly as the Timber Unity rallies? Now, you know, yesterday, or frankly, this rally on Saturday, if you just look at the signs, and Rich just sent me, by the way, some great pictures of some of the people in the signs. Here's one that says, Oregon's number one non-essential employee, you're fired, Kate Brown. And here's another one that says, if we can't work, neither can government. Yeah. And then it's a picture of Lady Liberty with her hand over her face, the lady holding a sign of Lady Liberty with a hand over her face. And the sign says, it only took a virus with a 99% survival rate to convince Americans to give up their rights. So let me ask you this. Do you think that this truly organic rally, nobody that I know in politics was involved with this thing, folks. Do you think that this will grow and have the incredible impact that Timber Unity has, but even greater? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. It's 6:30. We'll be right back. Don't worry. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Sorry about that, folks. I keep doing that, muting my mic, and my apologies. All right, look, still 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Thank goodness I got producer Phil sitting back there going, come on, turn on your mic! Anyway, Professor Hinckley's piece today about Oregon losing its mind over this virus is stunning in many ways. Now, I read you the quote from, I'm not going to be able to get through all of this thing. In fact, I'm not even probably even going to begin. Why? Because I want to hear from you. If you were at the rally on Saturday. Now, I'm going to tease you with something I want to talk about for tomorrow, because there is a profound implication here. And it has to do with Trump. I'm not going to go any further than that, but it really, really, it's a political theory that I'm seeing. Not so much from what I'm hearing, but I'm just thinking about this. And I'm thinking about it from I'm a longtime political person. I served 8 years in the Oregon House of Representatives. I'm a political consultant, and I help win very difficult races by doing things that Republicans don't like to do, but work. Now, here's the reality, friends. There is going to be a profound change in the country because of this thing. and much of it depends on you. Now, I want to go back to this, and that's why I can't get into the Professor Hinckley thing today, but I'm going to posit this theory to you tomorrow, so you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. 503-589-1220, that's the Power Buick GMC Talk Line. Were you at the rally? What were your impressions? What did you take away from the rally? We heard from Jake, and we heard from Glenn. What about you? Were you there? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. This lady who is from Salem Salon owner, who has said she's going to reopen in defiance of Kate Brown. Will you consider going down and defending her, standing in front of her sidewalk with a flag, a homemade sign? Friends, I'm telling you what happened Saturday, what happened not just at the state capitol, but over in Prineville and down in Brookings, is only going to grow. It ain't going away, Kate. You better figure that out right now. Because what happened Saturday was truly organic, just like the first Timber Unity rallies were. That scares Kate Brown more than anything else, because it's for all the marbles. Because, you see, she knows she's not dumb, folks. Yes, she is given over to an evil philosophy of regressive totalitarian Marxism. That's what she believes. That's who she is. Okay, let's just be honest. But I told you that I would share with you something. The other thing that I want to ask you, do you think because churches now are being targeted by Kate Brown to stay locked down until phase four into July, folks, you think churches ought to come to the state capitol next Sunday and we ought to have an interfaith church service with thousands of Oregonians showing up? What do you think of that idea? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I told you I would tell you why. It was from my pastor. Even though I was in Washington yesterday. And Art, hang on, because I'm going to get to you in a second here. I was watching my pastor online from our church in Harrisburg, Oregon, Life Bible. And he was talking about being betrayed. And he likened it to this whole shutdown. Are churches feeling betrayed? Because originally they were told, well, you know, if you can social distance, it's okay. And then it was, well, no, you can't. And then they were told, well, look, you know, we're not going to, it's not going to be that long. This is only for 30 days. And they complied. Do churches feel betrayed? Do you, as a person of faith, do you feel betrayed? You can go to Walmart. You can go to the cannabis store and get your great CBD from companies like Pro Bioscience, pro-bioscience.com. Go to their website, buy your CBD online. Use the code MOM, M-O-M, MOM. And get a 15% discount. Pro-bioscience.com. You can go to stores where they're selling CBD. You can walk around and get close to people, but you can't go to church. Something's really wrong. If you're a person of faith, do you feel betrayed? Let's go to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning. Your thoughts?
Or Jeff.
Morning, brother.
Yeah, give it to me straight.
Were you there?
No, I didn't go out. I had my personal reasons, and I'll tell you about that. Not online today, because it's complicated. But anyways, I want to talk about the churches, because churches provide a service to the people who go to the church. And Kate is denying... Sure, churches are nonprofit, but they're denying them the right to do what grocery stores and all these other things do, and other nonprofits, Jeff. And therefore, it's a denial of their constitutional rights, and I believe they need to all band together and file a lawsuit in federal court that they're being denied their constitutional rights and the right, because whether, you know, anybody wants to believe it or not, a church is a business because it depends on the people that attend it to support it.
Right.
And so, you know, the time has come to punish Kate and the liberals for denying people of faith their rights under the Constitution. And she should be held accountable to the furthest extent of the law for discrimination and denying people of faith their equal rights. Which,
well said, brother. Well said. And I think you have just hit the nail on the head, Art. And I'm going to let you go because I want to move on to Clark here in a moment. But I got to tell you, you've hit the nail on the head because you're not alone. Again, I go back to, you know, probably a month ago, that Oregon Catalyst article from a lawyer who wrote that the danger of Kate Brown's executive order is not just to our liberty, but that it is unconstitutional. And he wrote the basis by which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that these types of things have to be evenly applied. They cannot be, as Art just said, discriminatory. Kate Brown's lockdown order is clearly discriminatory. It needs to be challenged. But should churches defy? I mean, I'm serious now. How many pastors do you know feel betrayed like I think my pastor does? At least on what he said from the pulpit yesterday, he does. How many churches feel that strongly about it? That they're willing to say to their congregations, we're going to go to the Capitol. We're going to have an interfaith service on the Capitol steps. All faiths. And have them all up there praying. Catholic priests, rabbis, evangelicals, you name it. What do you think? This is what scares Kate Brown. All right, let's go to Clark, who's on the line. Clark, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
First, I'm not a lawyer, but I think I know why the churches are not holding services, most of them, because the majority of churches in this country file tax-exempt papers with the government.
Correct. They do.
I know, for instance, that there are certain things they can't preach about from the pulpit, because if they do go into taboo subjects that the government considers taboo, such as homosexuality and abortion, if there's a tax man in the audience, they can pull their tax exemption over that. And I believe that the reason the churches are shuttered right now and not open is because of the tax exemption dilemma. We could force the government's hand if we could somehow get all the churches to agree on a given Sunday to just open. Maintain 6-foot distance in the pews, and if there's overflow, they could have a speaker outside with cars in the lot. Make the state arrest all of them, and we could probably get a resolution out of that that would even annoy enough Democrats that we could probably even flip the House and the Senate downtown over that one.
You're so right, Clark. You've just once again hit the nail on the head as to why Kate Brown didn't have the state police there in force yesterday to arrest people. Because you know what? That happened at the Capitol in Sacramento on Saturday. Literally, after their protest, there are videos, cell phone videos, of CHP arresting protesters.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Kate Brown cannot afford to have that happen because the impact you just described, because this goes across political boundaries. This is people and their livelihoods. This is common sense. I'm reading Professor Hinckley, folks, and Clark, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for your thoughts, because, again, I think you've made a profoundly important point. Only 1.1% of all Oregon's 8,298 hospital beds are occupied with somebody with COVID-19. When we come back, we'll talk to Rich. Your thoughts, were you at a rally Saturday? Back in a moment, 6:48.
Get you in bed.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Rich and a new caller. So don't go away, guys or gals, because I got to pay some bills. Clayton Ward Recycling, folks, can accept all that stuff you've been doing in your spring cleanup, and maybe you've been remodeling since you dutifully have volunteered yourself to stay at home in obeying Queen Kate. Well, you know, if you've been doing some work and you got to get rid of that stuff, take it to Clayton Ward Recycling. You know what? They can take all the stuff, concrete, wood, yard debris, everything they can take. And it's easy. It's no waiting. They've been around 50 years. They're a part of Salem. Clayton Ward Recycling, the right off the Salem Parkway and Mainline Drive. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Saturday, 7 to 3. Clayton Ward Recycling. On to the phones. We'll start with Rich. Rich, good morning.
How you doing?
Awesome. Good to talk to you, man. Thanks for sending the pictures, by the way.
You're welcome. Clark hit it right on the head. If the churches would open up and use social distancing, that was a real bad mistake on Kate Brown or Lieutenant Governor Brown is to not let the churches open if they use social distancing. And she's made a lot of people. I saw people there that I don't normally see at protests that surprised me. Also, the violent arm of the Democrat Socialist Party was there, Antifa, but they were pretty low key on the east side of the Capitol. So the nice thing is at least the Democrat communists had their violent group there just in case they wanted to turn them on.
Now, how do you know they were Antifa?
Well, let's see. How do you put it when an officer of the law tells me that that's Antifa? How am I supposed to take it?
Well, that pretty much says it all. So there were at least enough cops there that they were watching the Antifa folks.
Well, let's put it this way. The ones that I know weren't in uniform, so.
Were they state police, you think?
I could say yes.
That's good to hear.
Let's put it this way. The state police is notorious for being very respectful of these type of gatherings, and they did a great job. And I was impressed with what they did and how they did it.
I'm glad they were there. And you know what? At some point, I mean, they're good soldiers, and most of them are former soldiers. And I appreciate their service to not only this country, but they still serve us, even though they got to suck it up and obey what Queen Kate says from time to time. They got a pretty good superintendent. I would tell you things, but I won't. Rich, thanks for your observations. I didn't know about Antifa. That's good to know. Good to know that I'm sure the state police went up and talked to him and said, you know what? You guys better be cool. And then probably Antifa also figured out, you know, there's probably some folks here with these flags, probably got guns with them. See, this ain't downtown Portland, folks. Let's go to our new caller. Caller, good morning. What do you have to say? And who are you, by the way?
My name is Rosemary, and
thanks,
I'm just
Rosemary.
Calling to remind you back during the impeachment, you had us praying Psalm 35, and I think that would be a wonderful psalm for all born-again Christians to lift before the Lord for this before we go to this Capitol meeting on Sunday, because I, for one, am one of these frustrated people that just feel this is absolutely wrong, what our governor has done to our state.
So, fair enough. Are there people in your world, just whoever you circulate around or with or communicate with on social media or your neighbors, do you get a sense that other people are just as frustrated as you are?
I think so. I mean, you can't expect government to support you. I mean, even if they're paying you an extra $600 with your unemployment check, eventually that will run out. People have got to get back to work, and I'm just and we need to get back to our churches, and we need to get back to a routine that we're used to. And you know, I sent an email to the governor and said, you know, we've learned to wash our hands into social distance now. Let us go back to church.
Well, and a great point, and good for you for being activist. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that the people listening to my voice right now that support this idea of having a interfaith church service on the steps of the Capitol, you think that they ought to be emailing or calling their pastors and suggesting that idea?
Well, it wouldn't hurt anything, because most of us, we have an online service on Sunday morning, but we have an evening drive-in service at Willamette Valley Baptist Church, but I would be very happy to meet folks at the Capitol building here in Salem. So
I think you're not alone. I think it would be the most massive, powerful thing. For a lot of reasons, it would be powerful. Most of them,
yeah,
and the most important.
Political, and we do have a constitutional right.
To peaceably assemble. That's
God
absolutely correct.
We choose.
Rosemary, thank you. I appreciate you
thank
calling,
you.
And let's don't be afraid to do it again. That's Rosemary's thoughts about this. So, seriously, friends, the most powerful thing that could happen with an interfaith church service and the steps of the Capitol building, you know what that is? Prayer. That's the most powerful thing that could happen out of that. I don't think Kate's going to like that either. Friends, you've got to support your local businesses. So many of the advertisers on this station literally are just small local businesses that have been hurt by this entire insanity. Eric Azor is one of them at RighteousRenovations.com. I mean, again, if you've been looking at your home while you've been stuck at home and you're saying, you know, we just need to fix that, he's your guy. He's a man of faith, and he lives it in his business. So check it out. Go to his website, RighteousRenovations.com, RighteousRenovations.com. And while you're thinking about all of that and you're thinking about making your home safe from all this stuff, or maybe that you remember the old air conditioning system wasn't working too good last summer. I mean, this week, apparently, we have a couple of 85-degree days coming. Why don't you check out Freedom Heating and Air? Go to their website, freedomheatingandair.net. And you know what they can do? They can come out or they can check out your system. You can fix the things that need to be fixed before you get into the heat of summer. But they can also make your home safer, too. These great HEPA air filtering systems. And it's not just about the virus, but it's about pollen season. It's really ramping up, folks. Make your home a safe space for a lot of things. Go to freedomheatingandair.net. One of the things that we're going to talk about tomorrow is my theory about Trump and this coronavirus thing. Its impact on Trump. But also, I'm going to tie that in with Kate Brown and the impact on the far leftist, regressive, totalitarian Marxist ideology that she believes in, that Tina believes in, and that Peter partially believes in. Let me leave you with one more thing from Professor Hinckley, by the way. We'll get into this tomorrow. Not a single child has passed away, has died from coronavirus. Ooh. A zero fatality rate for children. And we lock down our schools for that? Thanks for listening, friends. Stacey Ann's up next with Good Morning Salem. Be blessed. Pray.